Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, good Thursday, everyone. Big issues, big guest. Dr. Nicole Zafir from Fox News Channel has been with us before, but we happen to see some of the things she's been writing about, and we know that less than 2 weeks away, she has a new book coming out, May 25th, Tuesday, May 25th, Panic Attack, Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID-19. Now, you know, that's what we suspect happens with these things. And you know what happens when that creeps in? You start to get conflicting advice or advice that's not very good. Let's go to Dr. Nicole here on Talk Radio 1210. Doctor, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Dr. Nicole, I'm not sure if you have that in your book. Maybe you can go back and add an addendum. But the thing we saw play out this week, where even the New York Times said to the CDC, look, it's accurate but misleading to say if you're outside, your risk level of contracting COVID, I think they said, is 10%. That's true, but that's like saying they said 20,000 shark attacks when it's 150 every year. Is that the type of stuff you're talking about in the book?
Well, it sure is. And let me tell you, writing a book during a pandemic, you know, it has its challenges. But I hate to break it to people, but nothing has changed. The New York Times just came up with a catchy metaphor to call them out on what they've been doing. You know, the truth is that outdoor transmission regarding this virus has been negligible all along, and the data has been there for months and months and months. Unfortunately, the CDC just continuously is delayed in updating their guidelines. And, you know, it takes the New York Times to put forth a big media headline for it to finally grab attention. And I'm glad that it's surfacing. But, you know, that is essentially what my book is about. I try to bring forth as much truth as I possibly can to a lot of the topics that have found themselves to be controversial, from the origin of the virus to Chinese cover-up, to the World Health Organization, hydroxychloroquine, face mask lockdowns, you name it. And even what played out between Drs. Fauci and Dr./Senator Rand Paul this week about gain-of-function research. It's all in the book, and that's because it's been there this entire time. It's just now finally coming out into the public eye.
What's the motivation with Fauci? I have not been the biggest critic. I still had a soft spot back to when I used to see him occasionally on the Sunday shows, had a lot of credibility. Is there, you know, I'm not imputing the worst to him, but with Rand Paul, this stuff does come out. He has been inconsistent in this stuff at best. What's your thought? Too many interviews, or what is it?
You know, it's interesting. And I lay out several examples, to be honest, in the book between Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci. And the truth is, you know, I have a lot of respect for Dr. Fauci. Unfortunately, I think at this point in the pandemic, he's become a little bit too much of a media pundit and should probably get back to what his real role is at the NIH and really looking at the data and the science and working with the CDC to actually put forth guidelines that are going to follow the science, that are not overly restrictive. I think they've had a little bit of a tunnel vision for the last year, and their sole goal has been to lessen the spread of this virus. And I think there was a little bit too much neglect on some of the consequences about being overly restrictive, which are now we're starting to see play out. And, you know, Dr. Fauci has maintained in his role for decades through multiple administrations because he's a very smart person, very accomplished in his profession, but he's also a very good bystander. He doesn't push back. He doesn't push back against the CDC. He doesn't push back against the FDA. And unfortunately, someone with his role, while he doesn't have any direct influence on policy, people mm-hmm. listen to him. And so he has the opportunity to say when things are not right and say when things should change. And he doesn't do that. And that's really my only criticism.
Is there anybody out there we bring on, and you're one that we're so happy to be able to get on occasionally because we know how busy you are with your practice and TV, et cetera, Dr. Nicole, that you see as the go-to? I had hope for the current head of the CDC, and many times she says what I think the truth is, then she's forced to walk it back, and it's awkward and painful to see.
I think Dr. Walensky, the new director of the CDC, is an extremely intelligent and accomplished woman. I think, unfortunately, the powers that be influence her far too much, and she does walk things back. You know, in last summer in 2020, she wrote in an email to one of her hometown mayors that 3 feet of distancing in schools for children would suffice.
Yes.
Yet she supported the recommendation saying they should be 6 feet, which unfortunately caused many schools to stay closed. She also said teachers didn't need to be vaccinated for children to get back to school, and then had to walk that back. And unfortunately, I think it has just become glaringly obvious how much partisan politics have really inserted themselves into influencing the CDC. And I just wish that she would take a stance and care more about her role as a leader of the CDC than cowing down to the politics. I think she's afraid to lose her job.
Yes, that's exactly from afar what I think, too. Now, I am a big pro-vaccination. You got to say this stuff when you ask a question like this. But when I look at kids as young as 12, and here in Pennsylvania, there are some politicians, doctor, trying to pass a law that if a young kid, 14 years of age, wants to get vaccinated, the parent or guardian would have no say in that. By law, it would just be the government and the kid, essentially, carrying that out. I don't quite understand the rush to be vaccinating those kids at that age, because even though we've seen a miracle, I think, with these vaccines, there's always going to be potential risk with anything. So where do you come down on that? Do you talk about this? This is the next wave we're seeing here, at least.
You know, this is an interesting conversation, because when you talk about children, you really need to break them up between the 12 to 18 year olds and then the less than 12 year olds. Those adolescents tend to have very similar immunobiology to the young adults. They're going to respond to the virus similarly, and they're going to respond to the vaccine similarly. So we see with both, they're very low risk of complications from the virus, and also the vaccine is extremely safe and efficacious in these age groups. But I don't think that there should be a push to vaccinate adolescents to try and get the country to that quote unquote level of herd immunity. Really, they only make up about 5% of the population. Mm-hmm. It's really the adults. And as you can see by the numbers, how they continuously are just dropping, I mean, just precipitously dropping between cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. We really are approaching herd immunity, as they saw in the UK, as they saw in Israel. When you have about 60% of the population vaccinated, those numbers can drop. And we're now seeing that, as we have over 50% of the adults with at least one dose of the vaccine. So, you know, I think maybe we should pause. I don't think we need to use an EUA to vaccinate our children. If it comes to the time where we need to have a safe and efficacious vaccine for our children, let's get it through the full FDA approval first, because we know that children aren't high risk for this illness. They don't go unharmed. They can suffer from long right. COVID. They can suffer from the multi-system inflammatory syndrome. But we do know that it's extremely rare. And so I think it's okay to go through the longer process collecting more data when it comes to children, seeing as we are no longer in that state of emergency needing to get them vaccinated.
That's beautifully put. I mean, that's a very rational, non-political approach to this. Maybe the thing that's become weaponized the most is the mask. And Dr. Nicole, we had Senator Pat Toomey on early on, who was one of the architects of getting this into the ears of people in Washington about masking up, et cetera. Yet here in Pennsylvania again, and sometimes nationally, we see our local mayor the other day saying, well, we might wear the mask indefinitely, at least through cold and flu season. Well, if you make that choice, I'm fine with it. But what does your book say about that and how the politics plays into that right now?
You know, I have to tell you that I thought it was extremely important for me to lay out the mask issue in my book, and I really did. I came at it from both sides. I talked to the anti-maskers and the pro-maskers, and I showed the data supporting both of the arguments, and I talk about what's a reasonable approach forward. And the truth is, when you talk about the beginning of the pandemic, when we knew very little about the virus, we were kind of throwing the sink at it, like whatever we got to do to stop it. But there does come a time that you can, it's just as anti-science to ignore all data supporting masks as it is to wear masks when it's not necessary. So we have to find that middle ground. And unfortunately, right now, I think they're having a really hard time rolling back restrictions on mask wearing. And that's what's really causing a lot of distrust.
Well, let me ask you that. Let me probe you, because you have better sources and you've actually, and you're a doctor. I'm not. I only play a lawyer. I didn't graduate law school. So there's that. But Dr. Nicole, why are they having trouble? Scott Gottlieb out there, and he's become pretty adamant about this, saying we should be as aggressive at removing these when the science points to it as we were putting them in when we threw the kitchen sink at it. We're nowhere near doing that.
I know, and that's the problem. That is, I think they're having a really hard time rolling back some of these restrictions. And unfortunately, if these public health entities cannot demonstrate that they are capable of rolling back restrictions, they're going to lose the trust of the public health, of the public. And people
yeah,
are not going to actually
I'm sorry,
listen.
Dr. Nicole, I'm asking you why, yeah. though. Is it that if something goes wrong, is there a political stake in the pro-mask side? Because you're right, I think they've already lost a good bit of the public that's reasonable on this, because the science points to rolling them back and they won't. Do you have any sense of why not?
I don't know, to be honest.
Okay.
I think that at this point there is a lot of anti-science going on. I think that it's hard to admit when they're wrong. And if they were to say, what they like to do is have a study come out and they say, oh, a study came out, now we can do this. But
okay.
Unfortunately, they've already ignored the studies and they haven't already rolled them back. So I'm not actually sure what's taking so long. We have the data. We see that outdoor transmission is negligible. I wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal almost 2 months ago now saying outdoor masks needs to go away. I called it, it's time for a mascapation. And I said, Memorial Day should be the last possible day that we're wearing masks. And I don't know what the delay is. They cannot point to one single study to support it at this point. The fact that the CDC came out saying that children need to wear masks and distance outside for summer camps is the most anti-science recommendations I have ever heard. And I honestly don't know. I would love to say I could defend it, but I don't understand it.
That is well put in. The summer camp thing, I used to run a summer camp, so I'm very, very cautious about this. I thought after this blew up about a week, 10 days or so ago, they would start to roll it back. And maybe they can't. Maybe they just have invested so much in this, they'd rather put us through another summer of this. But those summer, when that starts, this is going to make them lose credibility even more and almost become a laughing stock. And when you start to see reasonable people who have gone along with a lot revolt, that's a real problem.
Absolutely. I think what has happened is you're having a lot of rebellion, because the CDC finally came out saying what you could do when you're vaccinated. And they said, good news, you can now walk outside by yourself, walking your dog, whether you're vaccinated or not, without a mask on, and you can do outdoor dining. And I'm like, hey, newsflash, we've been doing this for the last year without a vaccine, and it has negligible contribution to viral transmission. So there was actually no update. They were just walking back on their wrong decisions from the last year. It's been very frustrating, and their lack of ability to give incentives for the vaccines, the lack of ability to liberate the country, is really causing more rebellion and having people, I assume, not go and get the vaccine, because there's like, what's the point? We're still having to live under the same restrictions.
That's the biggest downside. So, Doctor, thank you so much. Where is the book available? Panic Attack, Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID-19.
It is available anywhere you could imagine it to be. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, anywhere, it's there. And if you go to Premier Collectibles, you can get a signed copy. I truly think it has a lot of great information in there. And I am someone who believes facts over fear. And if you arm yourself with information, you really get yourself to a better place.
Absolutely. Doctor, thank you very much as always. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh,